All right, praise the Lord. I don't know if you've seen the movie, but the movie out there right now is Infinity War. And if you haven't seen the movie, that's okay, don't stress. But we're just using what's happening out there to bring in some biblical truths. And I do believe that you will be blessed. Now, tonight, you might see, what is the city line all about? Tonight, I'm going to be talking about, really, about cities of refuge as we see in the Bible. But more specifically, what I want to do tonight is I want to anoint heads of family. I'm going to give you a bottle of oil as the husband, or maybe you the mother, or just maybe a lady who's running your family and just in charge of your family because you don't have a husband. I'm going to put this bottle of oil in your hands after anointing you, and then I want you to go and pray for your family. I want you to anoint your children. I want you to anoint your spouses. I want you to anoint members of your family, and we are going to pray Psalm 91 over everybody. How many of you know that we're living in pretty violent times? There's some hectic things happening. And so the Bible speaks of cities of refuge that were basically places where people could run to because accidentally they might have killed somebody, they might have caused harm to somebody, and there were six cities of refuge where they could run. And in those cities, they were protected from the avenger. And so how many of you know that we are a city within a city? Your home is a home within a home. And we're going to pray and anoint our homes. I'm going to pray and anoint the head of every family. And then family head, whoever you are, we're going to give you this bottle of oil for free. You go and you anoint your children and believe God for God's protection. Is that good? All right. Amen. Also, right now, I want the ushers to hand out these little cards. If you haven't received these cards, who has got a card? Have you got a card? Can we go ahead and hand out these cards all over in the campuses as well, up on the top in the overflow? What are these cards for? These cards, I want you to put people's names that you are believing God for salvation. Because next week, we're going to trust God. And I'm going to have memorial stones all situated in this building. And in the Bible, there were six stones that were used to write people's names on. Again, we're going to use the Infinity War and move on the back of that. But I want you to grab a hold of these envelopes. Don't bring them now. Don't hand them in now. You will bring them in next Sunday night. Next Sunday night, we're going to have heaps of stones, memorial stones, and we're going to come and put these cards in them. We're going to get up into groups and believe God for the salvation of our loved ones, okay? And how many of you know that a lamb is for our household? So if you're saved, then it means that the rest of the family is as good as saved. We need to activate the salvation of God. We need to use our faith, work our faith to believe God that every member of our family is saved. We can't just dilly-dally and say, well, one day. No, we need to. There's 9 months for gestation. A lady is pregnant for how many months? On average, 9 months. What happens after the 9 months? Well, we're just going to trust God for another 9 months. Well, maybe 2 years' time. No, the baby pops out. The lady has to work together with the baby and with the body, and there's a pushing that takes place. Amen? And so we have to activate the miracles of God. We have to almost like activate the salvation of people in our house. Hallelujah. We can't take no for an answer. We cannot say maybe in 2030. I don't know. No. Right now. We're saying now. Now is the day of salvation. So this is for next Sunday night. When is this for? Next Sunday night. All right. Praise God. So I want to talk to you tonight or this morning. Those of you that are watching by way of live stream, Infinity War has just come out. And Infinity War is really about a story about war between good and bad. And it begins by the evil guy, the villain, whose name is Thanos. And here's a picture of Thanos. He's quite a big guy. Thanos in this movie is Actually, of all the villains, he's quite a likable villain, actually. I guess because he's not ugly. He's quite handsome looking, he's got a thick neck. But he's a villain none the next. And he's considered one of the biggest Marvel villains that were ever created. He was born into a group called the Superhumans, the Eternals, who live on Saturn's moon called Titan. But when he was born, he didn't look like any of the other Eternals. He was born with a kind of a deformity that caused him to have an oversized body. So when you see him there, he's quite a big dude, and he's oversized. And because of that, he has a big grudge against the universe. And he is obsessed with three things: with killing, with death, and with power. Does that sound like anybody we know? All right, I think not your in-law or whatever it was. No. But that sounds like somebody that we know. And so the basic plot is he's out to destroy humanity because he thinks there's just too many people in the world, and it's time to cull those people, because if there's just too many people, they're going to use up all the resources. And so he has a kind of twisted philosophy. He has almost like a twisted ideology. And so in come the Avengers, and all of the Avengers, here they are. There's Thor, there's the Iron Man, there's Captain America, there's the Black Panther, there's the Hulk, there's Scarlet Witch, and all of these people, they all come together, and obviously their aim is to defeat this big man, Thanos, who is quite a superpower, all right? So the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6 and chapter verse 12, Ephesians 6 and 12, that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. All right? We know. We need to understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle. We're not trying to defeat the Thanos of our world. The Thanos of our world, who is Satan, is already a defeated foe. Can you lift up your hands and say, Satan is a defeated foe? Why is he defeated? He is defeated because of the cross. Hallelujah. Now, like I said before, thousands of people were crucified on that cross. That was a form devised by the Romans. But what was different about Jesus' crucifixion? What was different is that 3 days later, he rose from the dead. All right, the cross and what happened on the cross, what it was a cataclysmic event. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the tomb is empty. Bump your neighbor and say, the tomb is empty. So then who is the Thanos of our world? It's Satan himself, also called as Lucifer. I want to look at two scriptures this morning that basically refer to Lucifer. The first one is found in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. All right, if you're taking notes, write these scriptures down. And we're going to look at this today. And Isaiah 14 and 12 says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart." I want you to underline that if you can. "For you have said in your heart." Everything concerning our lives revolves around the heart. Christianity is not about a format. It's not about the Ten Commandments. It's not about abstaining from this food and wearing this kind of a clothes. It's not about observing a day and not observing another day. The whole of Christianity actually revolves around the what? The heart. Look at somebody and tell them Christianity is all about the heart. Proverbs 4 and 23, what does it say, good people? It says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Then in the New Living Translation, that same verse says, "Guard your heart above all else." Above all else. It's the principal thing. For it determines the course of your life. If you don't like the course of your life, if you don't like the way that your life is kind of flowing and kind of what's unfolding in your life, quit blaming people. Perhaps you need to look closer to home and look at your heart and take inventory and stock of what you are allowing into your heart. The Message Bible says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them it's all about the heart. So Isaiah here, back in Isaiah 14, 13, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be, can you see? It's all about me, myself, I don't like this. I like that. I want to go here. I want to say this. Everything is I. But also in this is the desire to be like God and take the place of God. And when you think about humanism, humanism actually is the anti-God or the anti-Christ in disguise. In other words, in humanism, we don't want to serve God. We want to be like God and have others serve us. And so we have to be very wary of the spirit that can come on anybody that makes you think that you are God all by yourself, that you don't need to answer to anybody, that you can come and go as you wish, that your body is your own and you can do with your body as you desire. And so human rights, you've heard of that, human rights is actually an antichrist or an anti-God in disguise. Very subtle. Now, I'm not talking about abusing people. That's something else. But actually, as believers, believe it or not, we don't have rights of our own. We actually do not have rights of our own. Not if you have a revelation of Galatians 2 and 20. And Galatians 2 and 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ now lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And then also if we throw into that mix 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 16, where Paul writes and says, do you not know that you're the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. And then again in 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, he reiterates it. And he says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So even though we do not have human rights as is defined by this world, I want you to know, though, we do have rights in God. Hallelujah. And I would much rather have rights in God than have human rights as defined by this world. What kind of rights are you talking about, Pastor? I'm glad you asked this morning. I'm talking about a right to be saved, a right to be cleansed and forgiven, a right. You have a right to be redeemed. You have a right to be healed. You have a right there in Phoenix and Hillcrest to be anointed by the Spirit of God. We have the right to possess our possessions. Anybody agree with me? Say amen. We have a right to the abundance of God. You have a right to the goodness of God, the blessing of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. You have a right to be the head and not the tail. You have the right. I don't care what color your skin is, what tribe you're from, what languages you speak. You have the right to be above and not beneath. You have the right to be free. Hallelujah. Bump your neighbor and say, neighbor, you have the right to be free. You have a right to the joy that comes in the Holy Ghost. You have a right to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. You have a right to stand in your place and bless God, you and your family. Hallelujah. You have the right to lift up your hands and clap your hands and make a joyful noise. Hallelujah. You have that right. You have the right to speak blessing over your children. You have the right to speak blessing over your business. You have the right to speak blessing over your church. Hallelujah. You have the right to forsake your past and cling to your future that is in Christ. Bump your neighbor and say, I might not have a human right, but I have a Christ right. Hallelujah. The other scripture when it comes to the devil, Satan, or the Thanos of our world is found in Ezekiel 28. And in Ezekiel 28, even though Ezekiel is making reference to the king of Tyre, there's a double parallel here. So in verse 11, Ezekiel 28, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. So he's describing the king of Tyre, but you'll see there's a double parallel. And say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection. Talking about Satan now. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Interesting that in Infinity War, Thanos is after the six infinity stones. And I don't know whether they looked at scripture, but there's a very close parallel here. That even Satan himself was covered, Lucifer, before he fell, was covered in stones. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. I mean, you talk a God of abundance, man. I don't see a schnoop God here when I read that. I read Genesis and I see one river becomes four rivers, and out of every river there's blessing, there's gold, there's whatever else you want to name. It's all in the river. So these are the stones. And then he says, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. Do you know that Lucifer was an anointed cherubim, the highest of all angels? Anointed, there were pipes and timbrels coming out of him, which leads us to believe that he was in charge of the worship of the music. All right, we'll get to that in just a moment. And it says there, I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. And by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, and I destroyed you, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Praise God. So we can see here that Lucifer, the Thanos of our world, was in Eden. And of course, in the movie, Thanos' his whole aim is to get these six stones. And as he gets one stone and the next stone, more and more and more power is given to him. Well, we know that in the Old Testament priest had a breastplate. And his breastplate was actually covered in stones as well. Hallelujah. See, I don't know if the movie makers were looking at the Bible, but there's a striking resemblance here. Amen. That the Old Testament priest has the 12 stones. I think it is. Is it 12? Yeah. And so there were 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel, and he was covered in those 12 stones. Well, what are our six stones? If you look at Infinity Wars, he has six. What are our six stones that we use to come against the Thanos of our world? I'll tell you what it is. Write this down. Number one, the name of Jesus. Number two, the blood of Jesus. Number three, the word of Jesus. Number four, the spirit of Jesus, the Holy Ghost. Number five, the authority of Jesus. And number six is the righteousness of Jesus. Hallelujah. These are the stones that you and I have. Now, in the movie, Thanos, the evil villain, he has a gauntlet that he puts on his left arm. It's like almost like a, I don't know what it is, a thing that he puts on his arm there. You can see it there. And he places those six stones into each socket, into its place. All right. What is our gauntlet that we have? We don't wear something like Thanos, but our gauntlet is our covenant with God. You and I have a covenant with God. And out of that covenant comes intimacy, comes a relationship. Why am I saying this? Because if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, saying the name of Jesus is not going to mean anything to you. We don't wave the name of Jesus like a magic wand. Hello? So what gives those six stones power in our lives is the fact that we have a living, loving relationship. There is intimacy. There is fellowship that we have with God. Hallelujah. And because we are intimate with our God, we're walking with God, we're talking with God, then we can use the name of Jesus. We can use the blood of Jesus. We can use the word of Jesus. We can use the authority of Jesus. We can use the righteousness of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? And what happens in this movie is when he's got the six stones in his gauntlet, he just clicks his fingers. And when he clicks his fingers, suddenly things start happening. People start disappearing. People start dying. I want to tell you, man, when you have a covenant with God, a covenant that is a faith covenant and a blood covenant, and you've got all of those stones in place, hallelujah, we work our faith. And when we work our faith, God, in a way, clicks his fingers, and what happens is we begin to experience the suddenly of God. Hallelujah. While you're walking, suddenly something happens. While you're sleeping, suddenly God is working behind the scenes. Hallelujah. We never write any situation off. We never write anybody off. God is always working behind the scenes. Bump your neighbor and say, thank God for the suddenlies of God. Hallelujah. But all of these come as a result of the covenant that we have with God. Let me give an example. One time in the book of Acts, there were some people that tried to use the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Acts 19 and verse 11, Acts 19 verse 11, it says there, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest. Now listen. Who did so? And the evil spirit answered, now listen, and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Can I tell you something this morning, family? Satan knows who you are, not because of your education, not because of your high social status, not because you are connected in this world, not because you have millions in your bank account. He knows you because of who you are in covenant with and who you are in the Spirit. Do you know that name that's above every other name? Are you intimate with that name? Do you fellowship with the person of that name? No, I'm not talking about works. This is all by grace. But let me just say something. If Jesus needed to spend time with the Father and he came in to usher the dispensation of grace, then how much more you and I being intimate, spending time with our Jesus? Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You are only as strong as your union with God is strong. Look at somebody and tell them, you're only as strong as your union with God is strong. So the devil said, Jesus, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but I don't know you. In other words, you don't carry any authority in the Spirit. You might be using the right name. You might be invoking the blood of Jesus. You might be trying to quote the word of God, but I don't know you. You don't carry any authority. But the name that you're connected to is not who you are and not who you're in relationship with. That's why we're here to encourage you this morning And our theme for 2018 is forward. Why? Because we want you to operate, to move in the things of God, to move forward upwards into the bigger, better, and greater that God has for you. So we're not afraid of the Thanos of our world. Can you say amen? He might operate in lies and schemes and seductions. He might be the master counterfeiter. He's not the original of anything. Come on. He takes what God has created and he simply counterfeits it. Whether it's in the music realm, in the song realm, whether it's in the arts and drama, whether it's in marriages and family, he twists and perverts all of that. He might take wisdom and knowledge and twists and perverts that. He might take riches and prosperity and just twists and perverts that. He cannot create or invent anything new. He takes of what God has created. He manipulates it and gets us to believe the lie. He is the master deceiver, cunning. The Bible says that the serpent was cunning than all the other creatures, crafty, always busy scheming and plotting our demise. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, that I will put enmity between you and the woman. This is God speaking to the serpent. So there is enmity between you and Thanos today. Who's the Thanos? Lucifer. There is enmity. That word enmity means something, an ill will that is deep-seated. In other words, this is not like the devil had a bad day today, so he's angry with you, and tomorrow he's going to be cool with you. This is something that is deep-seated. It is an ill will, an ill will towards you. In other words, he is writhing and seething, spewing out venom and hatred towards you and I. And when we get to do the work of the kingdom, when we advance the kingdom, when we are purposed on soul winning, when we are purposed in blessing others and walking in love and forgiveness, can I tell you, we torment the devil. We torment the devil to no end because he is seething and writhing with just enmity and hatred, pure, unadulterated hatred, venom that he spews out towards you and I. But thank God this morning, the Thanos of our world is not invincible. He's a defeated foe. Can you say amen? And this morning, we got all of these superheroes. I don't have any faces here. You know why? You know why? Because actually, we are the superheroes. When you think about, here is Iron Man, who's Tony Stark. Iron Man, Tony Stark is just an ordinary man. He's a billionaire, philanthropist, whatever he is in the movie. But when he steps into this suit, he becomes Iron Man. Hallelujah. And you might be just an ordinary individual out there, but you're born again by the Spirit of God. And when you step into Christ, hallelujah. Come on, when you step into Christ, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. When you step into Christ, the anointing is yours. The power is yours. The authority is yours. There is no power in hell that can stop you, that can do anything towards you. Why? Because of the greater one that indwells you. Look at three people this morning and tell them, you're a superman. You're a superwoman. You were created to be extraordinary in Christ. You look a whole lot better in Christ. Then you look out of Christ. Can you say amen? Give the Lord a praise offering this morning. Amen. Praise God. So I want you after the service, you can come and take your pictures here. All right, you look good there, Captain America. Black Panther, you're a bit short, eh? Praise God. Would you stand up in the campuses? Would you stand up this morning? In the overflow areas, would you stand up this morning? Father, I thank you for your word that's come to us. Not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. That we understand that the Thanos of our world has been defeated. Satan is a defeated foe. Now I want to thank you this morning, Lord, that your word has come to strengthen, encourage, infuse faith on the inside of every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, to break past every form of limitation, Lord, there might be people here that might have had a bad week, but I declare it's going to be good in Jesus' name. This week is going to be good. As we step into Christ, Lord, as we step into our giftings, as we step into our anointings, as we step into our office, that every one of us has a mandate given by God, and when we step into that, we become like the superheroes of Infinity War. And there is an Infinity War. It's a war regarding eternity. There are people's lives that are at stake. We are warring over the souls of people. And I thank you this morning that greater is He that's within us than he that is in the world. I pray your blessing over every person in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed. You see, Infinity War is actually a war about souls. It's about the kingdom of darkness overwhelming the kingdom of light. But how many of you know that light overwhelms darkness? As a matter of fact, there is no match between light and darkness. You walk into a dark room, when you flip the switch, immediately there is light. Because God is greater than the Thanos of our world. And what's more, He's a defeated foe. He's a defeated foe. And when we step into Christ, we become like Iron Man. We become like Superman. We become like Captain America. We become like Black Panther. We become like Thor. We become like the Scarlet Witch. We become superheroes in God. We carry superhuman strength, superhuman might, superhuman ability. What was once ordinary becomes extraordinary. But that is found in you. Outside of you, we're just sand. We're just clay. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, I want to pray for those of you that say, Pastor, my life is not right with God. I'm away from God. I'm away from God. For whatever reason today, you see, there's a war regarding your soul. Hear me. There's a war regarding where you will spend the rest of eternity. That's what this war is all about. It's not about a war, which political party is going to come, who's going to be the next president, who's going to say what, who's going to do what. The war ultimately is a war regarding the future of your soul. But today, in the campuses, in Hillcrest, in Phoenix, across in the hall, up on the balcony, right here, you don't need to go out of this place confused, uncertain about your future. You say, Pastor, there's some things that I've done I'm not too proud of. Well, today you can put right with God. I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, I want those of you that say, Pastor, that's me. Would you include me in this prayer? I'm coming to Jesus, and you can come with your all of your mistakes, all of your mishaps, all of your failures, all of your sin. God will embrace you, receive you, and forgive you just the way that you are. All right? You ready? You ready? This is very important. I'm going to count to three. Here we go. One, two, three. Go ahead and lift your hand up high. In Hillcrest, lift your hand up high. You're ready. I want to pray for you. In Phoenix, I want to pray for you. In the overflow area, I want to pray for you. Up in the balcony, I'd like to pray for you this morning. All right, don't struggle. Right now, we're just going to agree with God and allow God to have His way with each and every one of you. God bless you. I see some hands going up in the overflow area. Just lift your hand up high. Don't be shy. There are people that will pray with you. We want to stand together in agreement with you today. All right? So I see that in Phoenix, hands are going up. I've just been notified. In Hillcrest, hands have gone up. In the overflow, those hands have gone up as well, all right? Folks, I want us to pray for them. Everybody in this place, in the different campuses, in the overflow, would you pray these words after me? Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you today in Jesus' name. Just as I am with all of my faults, all of my failures and all of my sin. I ask you for forgiveness. Thank you for your blood that cleanses me, washes me. I receive eternal life and the forgiveness of all of my sins, and I'll never be the same. From this day onwards, I'm changed. I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.